listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, where we uplift caregivers through education and support while also lifting up their invaluable role in society. I'm Liza, and I'm here with my co-host, Kristen, and we are talking about self-care. We did a presentation, or we were part of a panel at the Circles of Life Conference in Stevens Point for caregivers, talking about self-care. And so before the commercial, we kind of started talking about what gets in the way of self-care. Mm-hmm. And I think at some point, you know, we are all so tired and exhausted that it becomes one more thing to do. Mm-hmm. And so now you have the added stress of, oh, I have to be taking care of myself. Mm-hmm. So it's really shifting that mindset. But I think what I was speaking to before is what really got in the way of me starting self-care and incorporating that into my life is establishing that I was important and that I was worth it and that this was important for my existence, because I think I had put all of my focus on everybody else, as caregivers typically do, that you don't think about yourself. And when you do think about yourself, it seems a little indulgent or, you know, selfish.
Sure. But it's not.
But it's not.
Right. And no. I think someone else said that on the panel today. Like, we get caught up in that self,
right?
Because self is selfish, self-fulfilling, self, you know, everything that seems sort of bad in our culture, because it's like too much focused on you and what you want. Where I think it's more important to recognize that it is about caring for yourself and recognizing that self is a part of a group, right? Whether that's the family, whether that's the community, whether that's your religious organization. And so caring for yourself, in my opinion, is just as important and valuable as caring for the others, because you're one of the others, right? You're one of the members.
Right, right. And caring for yourself makes a better you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's when my husband got on board, is, you know, when I came back from the walk or the girls' weekend or the whatever, that I was a better version of myself.
Yes.
And so he can now identify, okay, she's losing it.
Right.
You go do you.
Right.
And come back the woman that I love.
Right. Exactly. Well, and I always think of it as, I'm not the cook, but, you know, those pressure cookers, and it's like releasing that valve and that sound. That's how I feel like those things are, right? That walk, that weekend, that time away. Like, some people talk today about being in the car. And I remember that too. When I was driving home from work, if I wasn't ready, I would take another route and add another like 5 minutes, or I would go park in a parking lot in the park. And I didn't have time to like go on a full walk in the park, but I just took like 5 minutes to look at Lake Mendota and say, okay, I got to keep going. Right. But that, all of those things add up to releasing that pressure.
Yes. Yeah. I remember my husband took a job like 45 minutes away, and I'm like, oh, don't you hate that drive? Mm. And he's like, no, it's that release valve. It's that time for me just to think through things and have quiet time to myself. So no, it's really necessary.
I want to say one last thing before we move on to the next topic, because I think I couldn't relate to you when you said I didn't feel like you were worth it, because my ego is too damn big. And so I always think that I'm worth attention and I'll, you know, bring it on. But for me, what my obstacle was asking for help. Mm. And, you know, again, it goes into that idea that I can do it all. And so I've really learned how asking for help, I think it was a therapist who told it to me, or I've probably heard it a couple times, where asking for help is actually an opportunity to give somebody the opportunity to help, right? So this person who was talking me through this said, how do you feel when you help someone? I'm like, oh, I feel great. I mean, it's a huge part of my bucket. Like, that's how I fill up, is I'm an extrovert and I like to connect with people and I like to help them, whether I'm like literally carrying stuff to their car for them or I'm sitting and listening to them. And she's like, well, then when you don't ask for help, you're taking that opportunity away from other people that are important in your life, who really do love you and value and want to take care of you. And I was like, dang, that actually makes a lot of sense. And so I've really become a lot better at saying, hey, could I get some help with, and fill in the blank, or thank you for all your help, because it's really helped. It's really made a difference. It's alleviated the load, you know? And so it's just, I don't know. It's something that for me has been really kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. That is so true. And I think asking for help is probably still one of my biggest struggles personally. I was just brought up in that culture where you just figure it out or don't ask, or, you know, don't be a burden, be seen, not heard. So that definitely is a challenge. I think, making the time is really just shifting your priorities. You know, I remember saying, I don't have a time. I don't have time to go do yoga. I don't have time. Well, maybe I don't, and something has to give. Mm-hmm. So finding out what that is and having the ability to let go. But I think my biggest takeaway that I had shared is, when you give this time to yourself, you reflect, or you get this, you know, sense of awareness, and learn more about yourself. And it's, you know, it's in those quiet moments. And so, you know, the whole, who am I question? Well, it's those walks and those quiet moments where you start to answer those questions. And I think as that makes sense, it's empowering, you know, it's empowering to know your beliefs and your values and what's important to you
and your purpose
and your purpose and how you're going to stand your ground. And that in and of itself is self-care, because you go out into the world and that kind of does open the doors and allow you to advocate because it's like, hey guys, this is what I need.
Right. Exactly. And I think it just ends up being an opportunity to reinforce that living that way is good. Because as you do it and you're like, this isn't always about, you know, bubble baths, because bubble baths are a pain to me. But when I'm doing this really kind of deeper reflection, that self-care goes a long way, because it's giving me good feelings. So I want to do more of it.
Yeah. And I guess I can't assume that everybody's self-care includes those quiet moments of self-reflection or thinking about some of the big picture, but I think it definitely is helpful. And I know another conversation that came up that I feel like was really life-changing or game-changing to me is the voice in your head. I think it's part of self-care to learn that your voice in your head that has a lot of those judgments and negative thoughts, you know, they're based on past experiences. They're based on people in the past.
Right. Talk about the book that you mentioned.
Yes. Today. So one of my favorite books is Untethered Soul by Michael Singer. And it's really about challenging some of those thoughts in your head. So when they come up, you know, there was a doctor on the panel that said, you know, you ask yourself, is this true? Is there truth to this? Or what are the other perspectives? So it's building that ability to have a level of detachment.
Yes.
And I don't mean detachment in
like
cold,
a negative way,
sterile,
right?
No, negative way, but it's, you know, setting aside those problems and just reconnecting.
Well, and recognizing that just because they're thoughts, it doesn't mean they're true.
Right.
They're just thoughts. And I think we got asked a really good question from someone in the audience about, okay, I'm hearing everything you're saying, but, and she kind of like described her reality and it was intense. And she's like, I just don't understand how do you guys do this? And how do I make sure that I don't end up, I can feel the panic rising, but I don't want to end up with the actual panic attack. And I said, for me, what works, you know, and I don't know if this is going to work for her or anybody out there, but for me, what works is I remind myself when I start to feel that physiological, like shallow breathing, hey, the sun is going to set tonight, whether I have a panic attack or whether I just go to bed, whether I fold one more stack of laundry, whether I have the kids, you know, not necessarily in the best place they can be, like, and the sun is going to rise again in the morning. And sure, there might still be dirty clothes and dishes in the sink and Nicole might have an accident and it might be a pain the next day, but I couldn't handle that stuff as I was feeling the anxiety rising. So I know that I need to take a break, right? And I need to let that pressure out, and I'll face that stuff the next day when I'm in a better mindset.
Yeah, I agree. I remember thinking at one point, well, it's not really self-care. It's more like don't care.
Yes. You know? Yeah. And love it.
And of course, again, I don't want to go down that negative road. You can't go through life saying, I don't care. But at some point, you have to say, I don't care. I don't care if the laundry gets done tonight. I don't care if his outfit doesn't match. You're not going to chase him down. It's life will go on. And I think my answer to that question was, this too shall pass. Mm-hmm. So just knowing that this is a moment in time and it's a difficult moment, but it'll pass.
Right. Exactly. What's one of the other questions we had today?
What are one of your favorite ways to practice self-care and how has self-care changed over time?
Well, for me, it's changed over time because it's now just becoming integrated, right? Like I said, I start the morning looking at my mantra bracelet. I go to bed listening to Headspace. And what are my favorite ways to practice self-care? Oh, I know what I talked about on the panel, and I really do want to give a shout out to my tribe. For me, it's recognizing that I am an extrovert and that by being with people who get it, who actually walk in my shoes, like being with people in general, I love, and I have, you know, lots of different groups of friends, and they all are people that support me and love me and do help me. But when I'm with people who have kids with special needs. And so, you know, we've done this through Camp Awesome. We've done this through Spark. We're doing it more now through our Empowered Caregiver community. I'm with people where I don't have to even worry about what their perspective is because they're watching it and living it right next door to me. And that somehow has been just a great way for me to practice self-care. So Camp Awesome is a one-week family camp that is up in northern Wisconsin, and they have four separate weeks. And sometimes, you know, we've been going 11 years. Sometimes we're like, ah, we can't afford this, or ah, we need to do a different vacation, or, you know, can we really go eat the camp food one more time? But then I think about how much it fills my family's buckets in all different ways. It fills our family's bucket together as the four of us. It's where Nicole physically is at her best. Like each day I watch her just get more and more comfortable in her skin. She walks around and she knows that she's fully accepted. And that's not true in the rest of the world. And so seeing that is just so fulfilling for me that I'm like, we have to keep doing this. And then Andy, as a neurotypical kid, has siblings who also get his experience, and Stefan gets other dads, and then we all get families. And so it's just, you know, I really would encourage people to find their tribe because it, I think, has been a huge part of my self-care.
Yeah, it sounds like such a wonderful place. And it is so great to see our kids with their peeps and just see how comfortable they are. I mean, it brings a lot of joy. On the flip side, it brings some heartache to know that the world is tough for them. But you know what? They have their tribe and they have their group that they can go to at the end of the day. I think for me, it's a little bit of the, I love my tribe too, but being an introvert, I need that level of downtime and alone time because too much stimulation is too much. I think my self-care has changed over time. I remember younger, like, let's go shopping. I got to go shopping. Mm-hmm. But really what I was doing was trying to find shiny things to buy to fill gaping holes within my life. And so luckily, for me and for my bank account, that's shifted a little bit. And now it's, you know, connecting with nature and, you know, doing those things that really don't cost money for me, I think gives me the greatest level of rejuvenation for the
most part. And piggybacking on that, because shopping's never been my thing, but boy, did I sure like my margaritas and my wine nights. And so my liver's a little bit happier and my diabetes and blood sugar, and my doctors are a little bit happier that I'm also embracing nature and dog walks. So you are listening to the Empowered Caregiver. We're going to be back in just a moment to finish up our segment on self-care.